Welcome to the Resilient Mind Podcast. In this episode, you will be listening to Become Relentless and Unlock Your Full Potential with David Goggins. Get access to the Resilient Mind Journal by clicking the link in the show notes. Enjoy.
If you want it, you will find time in your life to do it. If you don't want it, you will continue to do exactly what you're doing now, give me excuses. You're going to make up every excuse on why you can't do it, and that's why I can't connect with you. That's why you hear the passion come out of me, and you want to say it's anger? No, because I know it can be done. And you're telling me on why it can't be done. And then what you do is, he's crazy. He's in a can. No, you don't want it bad enough. If you want it bad enough, you will figure out how to make this shit happen. People don't want to go in deep, man. All the answers are inside of you. It's a very primitive way. It's very barbarian. It's how we all think. It's how man once walked the earth. And then we get all soft. The most powerful thing we have is our fucking brain. It's our mind. And we don't use it anymore. What separates me from a lot of people is they go into a daunting task. And the task is overwhelming. You have to be open-minded to the possibilities that I can do this. Once you shut your mind down to the possibility that it can be achieved, there's no way it can happen. I know that if you're in a fight, you have to attack. You have to keep attacking. The enemy has to know he is not going to give up. You must break the soul of whatever the fuck is in front of you. That's what I realized. I was never breaking the soul of anything in front of me. If you keep on attacking something, nothing wants to stand in front of anything that is relentless. Nothing.
There's so many times in life you don't want to be doing what the fuck you're doing. You can't just fucking quit. Remember this. This isn't a hobby. This isn't a fucking joke. It's a fucking lifestyle. So what you say to yourself is important. There's no fucking coach. There's no trainer to keep you going. It's only you. The whole thing is this. Don't say a word. Stay uncommon amongst uncommon people. You're never done. Don't stop when you're tired. Stop when you're done. Stay hard.
I had the ultimate blueprint by watching my family. I was the youngest kid. So the youngest kid has the total advantage. You know, you may get picked on, you may get bullied with everybody, but you sit back and exactly what you said. I sat back and watched my dad. Definitely don't want to do that. My mom, my brother, whoever it may be. I sat back and I paid attention to everything around me. And it was the ultimate blueprint to how to live life. How not to live life is I watched people do. And I said, I don't want to be like that. I know where you are. I know where, because I've been there. That's why I help so many people out. I've never been above you. I've always pretty much been beneath you, and that's where my knowledge came from. So I know how to reach those people who are in the dungeon because I've been there so many times. I call it part-time savage. I started kind of going through this. I started getting, you know, a little bit injuries, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Things that back in the day never slowed me down. When I got my head out of my ass and realized that, hey, we have more left. We can still push harder. We're not there yet. I realized, talking to a guy named Cameron Haynes, who did this race, 240-mile race. And is this the new level? Is this the new push? So when I decided to do that race, it was in the back of my mind like, man, I've really become an expert at running 100-mile races. So for me, this was the new level, the 200-plus-mile race. And what was so amazing about that, as you probably read in the book, I had a hard time the first time doing it. I came back and did better. But what's amazing about the human mind is that it becomes your new norm. Like to think that I can run 200 miles, 240 miles, and that becomes like running 50. I never thought that was possible. This is why I'm always pushing that limit, because I know that within pushing these limits, there's always more. So I end up doing like almost like back-to-back 200-mile runs. When the 200-mile race, 240-mile race was hard at once, it became something that was very easy after I figured it out. All those miles I've run on this thing, it's been a lot of gut checks. Because when you get to 70 miles of a race and you felt the way I did, it's, to me, it was humanly impossible to even think about going 30 more miles in that shape. And once you do it, what came over me when that shower hit me and the reality hit that I just went 101 miles. And that last 31 miles was something that I can't even describe to people. And she's like, we gotta get you to the hospital. So at the time, my mom was seeing this doctor and he was like, you know, so she's describing to my mom what I'm going through. He's like, you gotta get in the hospital now. And I just said, just shut up and let me enjoy this pain. I don't want anything to numb it. I don't want anything right now. Because what I had done was I just, in my mind, and people will take this wrong and take it as wrong as you want to. I don't really care. I had just climbed a mental wall that was amazing. And I didn't want anybody to take that pain away from me at that point. Cause that was all confirmation. I never wanted to feel it again. I never wanted to feel it again. But what it did was it showed me what is possible. And that's what set the new stage for me. That's when I realized, oh man, I've really been underachieving my entire life. I'm not saying that you have to go to that place. That place is a dangerous, dangerous place that you don't want to go there. But it taught me what is possible. So from that 19-hour lesson, one of the biggest lessons I had in my life, it taught me like, okay, I got it. Check. As you get bigger, as you get more successful, you open the door for people to critique everything you do. And most of the people who are critiquing you usually aren't where you are. And all their critiquing comes from people who are really at a low level of life, which is sad. But what we do, people who are on the upper level, hearing the haters at the lower level, like I said, you'll never meet a hater doing better than you. True statement. I started having fun with it. So I'll go through the comments. While most people don't go through comments, I go through them intentionally and look for the bad ones. And while I'll block and delete you because the people on my page don't need that negative energy, I'll block and delete you, but I take a snapshot on my phone and I put it in the archive. So what happens is there's days where I'm like, you know what? I really don't want to do this today. And I'm like, oh, hang on. So I started making these mixtapes with all of these hate messages about people talking. And it became such a source of fuel that it was amazing because I know why you hate me. You hate me because you're probably in the bed right now. You're probably an underachiever. You're probably somebody who doesn't want to do anything with your life. So I make you question everything about yourself. So I'm going to continue making you question yourself by coming out here and being even more successful. So I listen to that while I run. I sometimes play it in the house and it sometimes gets on Jennifer's nerves. I'm sitting and listening to somebody talk mad shit on a loop about me. And she's like, why do you do this? It's half comical and it's half inspiring. I'm actually inspired by it. People understand. This wasn't like a part-time job. Man, when you've done without, like Kobe Bryant, when Kobe retired at last game, he like 60 points, walked off the court. He didn't cry. He said, oh my God, I'm going to miss the sport. He walked off. He gave everything he could. Man, when you give what I've given everything. People make, oh, you ran on f***ed up knees. You taped your feet up. You did blah, blah. You had two heart surgeries. You kept on going, which makes me who I am. David Goggins is an introverted, soft kid that got beat up growing up and had to lie to create friends, to get friends, to be accepted. My life has really been about two people. I had to invent a whole nother human being to get outside of my comfort zone. And that human being became Goggins. It took a while to get to that point where enough was enough. And I had to make a change in my life. You know, I was at an all-time low and I wasn't going anywhere. And I was exactly what everybody said I was going to be, which was nothing. So I had to make a change. Goggins is like the guy that walks out of the phone booth. He's like that Superman that walks out of the phone booth. It's kind of strange how sometimes I have a conversation between David Goggins and Goggins, and Goggins would tell David Goggins about he's done. And David Goggins like, what the hell, man? Why are you doing that? That's nuts. It's kind of this battle between trying to find more of yourself, knowing that the real you is afraid, likes comfort, likes living in a world that likes to pat you on the back, give you the things that you want to hear, not the things that you have to hear to get better. That's where all this kind of started from. And when people hear this podcast, they're going to definitely want to put a title on me to make themselves feel better. Basically, what you're doing is you're giving yourself a get out of jail free card. So all you're doing is saying this guy was some super freak. He found some super thing in his brain that was locked up. He unleashed it and became this guy. Because every day I wake up, I dread the day. I dread the day of what I'm going to bring on myself to get better. The most important conversation you'll ever have is the one you have with yourself. You wake up with it. You walk around with it. Eventually, you'll act on it. And my self-talk was most disgusting self-talk of all time. So the sewer of my mind, like I said, you have to go back in there and fix things. A lot of us are afraid. Like right now, 20 years ago, you wouldn't find me on this show. I was too embarrassed to tell you I stuttered. I lied. All these different things, getting beat up, getting bullied, whatever happened. But that's where the true transformation starts to happen. When you can look at people, anybody, thousands of people, one person and say, hey, this is who I am. And this is where I have to fix myself. And this is where it really happened. You know, people call me dumb. People, my dad called me so many things, it's not even funny. Being beat just stripped me of all self-esteem. This is when I realized I was alone on this earth. I have God alone on this earth, and I have to fix everything. So this is where I started to develop an indestructible mental toolbox. I looked in this one guy's eyes who was ringing the bell to quit, to put his helmet down out of Navy SEAL training. And I saw myself, and I saw what everybody said I was going to be, which was nothing. What I said I was going to be, that conversation you have, that's who I was. So that's why I lied to people to tell them a different version of the truth. I had to make all those lies reality. I had to make them real. I had to become a real person. So that's when I put in my mind that I'm going to go to the toughest military training on the planet, where it has the most water, the thing I was scared of the most. So a lot of us run away from our fears. And we box ourselves in to a lifestyle of this is all we can do. I'm afraid of everything outside this box. So I'm comfortable inside this box. I jumped the box. Everything I didn't want to do is what got me to where I'm at today. It's about what you're saying to yourself, but it also comes with work. So whenever I was getting beat down, physically, mentally, spiritually, whatever I was going through, just saying, you can't hurt me. I have this haunting voice in the back of my head. A lot of us have it. We just ignore it. And it was there for years. So I knew in the back of my mind that I could pull off this whatever. Whatever I wanted, I knew I could. I knew that, but I was afraid of the work, because I wasn't gifted with brains. I wasn't gifted with God-given talent as far as like athleticism. So I knew to get to where I had to go to be on the same playing field as these men to even try out for this program, I knew the work was going to be something that I didn't want to even attack. So I was just putting it off. It haunted me. That's what I realized for myself was I wanted that comfort zone that everybody looks for, that pat on the back. They don't want to hear all the bad. They want to hear everything that they're doing right. And I realized that's what kept me in this world. That's what kept me in this world of not accomplishing anything. What I did was I became that big, bad, nasty that you don't want to walk into at nighttime. I became the roughest critic in the world on myself. And that's what changed me. I stopped caring about people, that what they thought, being judged. Wow, if I say this, if I started right now, are you going to make fun of me? I stopped caring about that. And that's when my life started really changing for me, slowly but surely. Or situations that have wronged me. Because once you've come to a place where you are really happy with who you are in life, no one f***s with you anymore. Even though they're f***ing with you,
it doesn't f*** with you.
What do you want in your life? We have so much influence coming at us that we are so lost. We don't know what we want to do because we don't spend enough time with ourselves. Greatness is whatever the hell you dreamed of in your own mind. You got to first see it. You got to first create this vision in your mind. Once you create this vision in your mind, it's how am I going to get there?
But you've got to go inside yourself to find it. And that means you got to be quiet. Shut the fuck up. Go in a room. Stop talking. Search your soul. Search your mind. Search your abilities. And you'll find it. But if you're not looking for it, you won't find it. So you got to go start your journey. And the journey starts with you finding, why the hell am I here on this planet Earth? Why am I here? And if you don't know that, you will live the rest of your life searching, always asking the question, why?
I'm waking up and I'm giving myself all this armor. So when I come out in the world, look at that phone, I'm ready. I'm not waking up late. I'm not rushing around. I'm not disorganized. Because I know I'm going to get hit in the mouth. There's an art to getting hit in the mouth. And that is why these things are important. You have to wake up and you have to give yourself belief. You have to give yourself confidence. What works for me is that everyday resume. The things I know I've accomplished, the things I know I've done, real hard work, the real calluses on my mind, the real calluses on my hands. That's it. You don't need to pound your chest in the mirror anymore if you have that. A lot of it is limited horizons. Limited horizons are like, I use me as an example always. I came from a small town in Indiana where there was a handful of black families. And a lot of people in that town, when you come from a town of 8,000 people, it's like we had a local plant, Great Dane. And you're like, you know what? I want to work at Great Dane and get a house next to my mom. That's what you know. So many of us come from these small places in our mind that we're not willing to think outside of only what we've seen. Our mind works in such a small compartment. And one thing I was able to do was to dream. Many people, but don't make dreams your master. But I was able to dream outside those four walls of that small town. And until you're able to really put yourself into that dream, but don't make dreams your master, that's where you truly become what you're destined to become. A lot of people sit back and they dream about being a sports figure, or dream about being a SEAL, or dream about being an astronaut. And all it is a dream. They don't put the work behind the dream. That dream has become their master. When you become the master of your dream is when you say, I want to go be a Navy SEAL. And you say, okay, I'm going to lose 106 pounds in less than 3 months. The dream was the one thing I thought about, and the dream was now gone. Now what comes in, the dream goes away, and the laundry list of details and tasks come up. Gotta do this, gotta do this, gotta do this, gotta do this. That's when you become the master of your dream. So a lot of people out there dreaming. But guess what happens? That alarm clock goes off at 4 a.m. to train. I'm very aware of my eating, my sleeping, my disciplines of life. If I start to get too far away from them, it's a hard stop. And the one thing, the only thing that gets me mad nowadays is that so many people die with untapped potential because they think that someone else is better than them. And they were born not with the greatest tools. You need the ability to grind your ass into a fine powder. And when you're in that fine powder, find a way to build that motherfucker back up repeatedly. I was always trying to do it because I knew I sucked. And so when you know you're trying to get somewhere, you know you suck, you know that you believe that you're a born loser, you are taking snapshots, man. Like, you know, you see something on your phone, like, oh man, I'm going to take a snapshot of that. I do that in my mind. So I get in these moments where I'm like, okay, wow, that's good knowledge right there, man. I snapshot it because I know that I can use that later. I can use this because I'm not out there most people, they go out and they run and they go out and they do, and they're like, oh, this is beautiful. Look at mountains. And no, I don't like it. My body hurts. I'm hurting. How do we get through this? It's a lab. It's my mental lab. And so when I come home, I'm not forgetting it. And the second, like every day I get done running, or every day I get through working, or every day I get through studying, whatever it is that brings me to that place of knowledge, I come home and that book was mostly written on a scratch piece of paper in hand. So I come home from running and I write everything out. I write everything out, all those things. And as I'm running, I'm talking about it. So all these things that pop in my head as I continue to run, I'm going through it. I'm starting to layer it down. I'm starting to break it down into, okay, that happened. Okay, now let's layer this. Because that's just not how it happened. It just didn't happen that way. What led up to this? And so it becomes me by myself in school. I'm literally going to school right now and I'm learning. So when I come home, I write it out. And then I'm able to write out and I'm able to think about it and say, okay, oh, this is good. This will help me later on. And then it becomes what it is now. I did a lot outside the military. I've made money. I've done almost every race out there, hard race in the world. I've broken pull-up records. I've done a lot of, so when these bad times come, and also not only that, like work your ass off so you can enjoy. Yeah, you're taking a shot. You know, you may not live to be old, but what if you do? And you worked your ass off when you were able, and you were able to get up early, able to grind. If you front load it properly, the back half of your fucking life is money. And that's what I did. So basically, I don't take any days off as far as working out. First thing in the morning time is you have to build your confidence. And every day you're constantly gaining and losing confidence. You're never staying the same. So how you build your confidence is if you like what you see in that mirror, that's how you start your day off. If you wake up and you look fat, you look out of shape, you're not feel good, which is, you know, or you don't feel good inside. So my whole big thing is get up and work out, shed some calories, get the adrenals going, get the mind going, get all that going. Every day I run, every day I work out. A lot of people, what they do is they have these finish lines. And I have a saying that says, I don't stop when I'm tired. I stop when I'm done. When I was younger, I didn't have any goals. It's not really so much about goals. It's just a to-do list. And as a human being, if you don't have a to-do list, you're going to sit back and just fade away. Your brain is the most powerful weapon in the world. If you can't control your own brain, you got to tell your brain where you want to go and how you want to go and how you want to get there. You got to control it. If not, it's over. When you quit, your mind says, we're done. So it doesn't expand. There's no expansion when you quit. When you say, this sucks. I'm drowning. I'm miserable. I'm suffering. I'm broken, but I'm not going anywhere. What happens to your mind? It says, he's not leaving. So we got to expand. We got to grow. We got to figure this thing out. So then these compartments in your brain, they have to work. And then you start to engage parts of your mind that you never engaged before when you're in suffer mode and you say, I'm not going to quit. You're forcing your brain now to operate on a level it's not used to. But then it becomes used to it. The only way anything gets accomplished, you got to work hard. I can't remember what's in this paragraph to pass this test to get in the military. Read again. Still not getting it. Read again. Well, if you're not getting it, write it out. And guess what happened? I got it. I can't swim. I'm negative buoyant. Go back again. I can't swim. Go back again. Go back again. Go back again. I got it. I realize if I keep going back and going back and going back, your mind will say, okay, we're going to figure it out because he is not going to stop.
The biggest trophy I own now is that book. The biggest trophy I own now is not the book itself. It's what's in the book. It's what, like, I don't give a fuck if that sells one copy. Honest to God, man, what I did, and that's what I hope people understand. Your life and the journey you put yourself through, there's nothing more than that. And that's all I want people to do is realize that you have to struggle. You have to struggle. The bigger the struggle, the bigger the peace. The bigger the suffering, the more peace.
So a lot of this isn't your fault, why you do some things you do, why you feel the way you feel. But no one's coming back to save your ass. You have to go back to where it started, wherever that place is for everybody. It has the courage to go back there and start fixing what broke you. And that's why I was like, hey, I'm fucked up. I'm going to go back and fix this stuff. And I know the one thing that made me who I am today is being vulnerable. It's breaking myself down to the absolute rock bottom and being able to tell people who I am. And that's how I fixed it. Literally, you know, look somebody in the eyes. You know what, man? I have a whole bunch of character problems, character flaws. I've lied about this. I've cheated here. I'm insecure here. This isn't the real me. I lied to you about that. I wanted your acceptance in life. All those things happen. But the thing about it is that we get judged so quickly by who we are. We don't know. We don't go to where it happened. Life created this person, me. And I had to realize, man, that's okay, man. It's not my fault. Now I got to go back and fix it, though. So a lot of this isn't your fault, why you do some things you do, why you feel the way you feel. But no one's coming back to save your ass. You have to go back to where it started, wherever that place is for everybody, and have the courage to go back there and start fixing what broke you.
Thank you for tuning in. Continue strengthening your mind by listening to our other episodes.